Welcome back once again. This is I Am Live right here on Radio Pulpit 657 AM. We all know that movies play such a huge role in our lives. I don't think there's ever been a generation in these recent times that has not been influenced by film. And we know that even our grandparents, I wish I had asked my grandmother what's her favorite movie. Have you ever done that, Charles? Your grandmother or your grandfather, like, found out what's their favorite film?
No, I've never done that, but I don't have any living grandparents anymore, so I assume that's why I never had the opportunity.
Oh yeah, same
But
here
yeah,
actually.
I never did that.
Yeah, that's exactly my situation as well. My grandparents are no longer alive, so I'm unable at this point to ask them what, well, and my grandmother on my dad's side actually passed away, I think about 3 years ago. So I could have had the opportunity, but she was like 98, so I doubt she had any. If she did have a favorite film, I doubt she remembers it. But anyways, Phil, the point is that films influence all of our lives, and as a result, we do have to watch them with a bit of scrutiny and understand what message is really being sent, because whether you like it or not, in as much as our generation loves films, films will influence the way you think. I think especially you see it in the way that we approach relationships. Films really, really do influence and impact the way that we understand what love is, the way that we understand how marriage works and how family should work. Because no, there is no other media that is present with us, unless you're a bookworm, that is we actually give the opportunity to influence us as much as content that we find on, for example, Netflix and HBO Max, and especially in the cinema and television. So this segment of the show is meant to guide us and highlight some of the good morals that we actually can learn from films, especially those that are family friendly. And remember, as always, the disclaimer is that you're the person who gets to decide whether a film is family friendly or not. So right now we're actually going to be having a discussion on a film. It's a SpongeBob film, right? It's called a Sponge on the Run. A Sponge on a Run. I honestly thought I was shocked when I realized that this film even exists. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, Charles.
Yes, I did actually.
Really? I'm surprised. Like, Charles, when Aganti, what
Yeah.
don't you know? Honestly speaking, I feel like you're so in tune with what's happening in the modern world. But anyways, just to give a little bit of a summary. So the rule, if you're listening, the rule is that we do not spoil the films for you. If you still want to, the whole point is so that we can give a clear picture of what the film is about, and you can then decide whether you want to watch it with your family or not. And especially since we're on air, we have a huge responsibility not to spoil any of the films that we talk about. So we're not going to get into any details of the film, but we are going to just talk about some of the themes that the film touches, and some of the lessons that I feel, or we feel, the film is teaching young kids. So just to get into the synopsis of the film, right? It says, Gary, SpongeBob's beloved pet, is missing. To get him back, SpongeBob and Patrick follow a series of clues that lead them on an adventure to the city of Atlantis. The movie has basically premiered on March 5th, 2021, and it will made its debut on VOD. So this is Paramount streaming network, as well as at theaters. If you've watched this movie, I honestly have a question for you. Like, where did you even know about this film? Because I know I'm always on the internet and I love films, and I did not hear about this film. Like, I only recently found out about it. Honestly speaking, plug me. Where do you find out about this film? Or plug us. Let us know, where do you find out about your best films? Now, with that said, we're going to head over into just giving a summary of what happens within the film without any spoilers. So obviously, as you heard, SpongeBob and Patrick, Patrick is basically SpongeBob's most closest friend, go on an adventure to find Gary. And that's SpongeBob's snail that meows. So I don't know if you want to call it a snail or a cat. So they go on an adventure to actually find this snail, and the journey leads them to Atlantis, where they actually find out that SpongeBob's snail was actually kidnapped by a king in Atlantis. And the reason that he kidnapped Gary is because he needs Gary. You know the slime that snails leave, Charles, whenever they crawling or walking around in your garden?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so the king needs that in order to stay young and to retain his youth. And I actually believe that that's an actual myth that, I don't know if it's a myth or if it's true, but I think there are people who actually believe that snails can actually do that. So they let them walk on their faces to prevent wrinkles. I think there is such a practice. But yeah, that I believe is the first message that this film highlights, right? Which we're going to get into a bit later. And then another thing is the journey leads SpongeBob and Patrick into exploring the concept of friendship, their own friendship, and also being able to befriend others who do not have friends, and which is a big theme. It's a very important topic, especially in high school, because kids tend to not want to play with the kid that does not have friends, and that's a very, very big one that is explored within the film. And I think also just the concept of adventure as well, going out on an adventure with your friends, and going to do something, because our friends to some extent end up becoming family. Now, Charles, I want to hear your perspective. So the thing I was thinking about is the fact that with the king wanting to use Gary's slime in order to prevent himself from aging, it really makes me think of how in Hollywood, and a lot of our, you know, how pop culture teaches us that you cannot become fat. You always have to be very thin. And it spreads the image that the younger you are, the more awesome you are. So a lot of these Hollywood stars, I mean, like your Kardashians, they go through hectic plastic surgery in order to keep themselves looking young. And I think that's such a toxic, that it's such a toxic practice and a toxic message that we find in these Hollywood, not even just films, actually. This is like their real lifestyles. What are your thoughts on that, Charles?
I find it incredibly sad, because we tend to then want to be like those people. And if you don't look like that people, like famous people, you are not then obviously
accepted,
seen as attractive. I'm thinking of a girl that was actually visiting my wife this morning. She had the most beautiful red hair and the most beautiful white skin, but she suffers from being bullied, and that wound that she had from people bullying her for the fact that she looked different than them actually still causes an issue in her life. And she's like 25 or 27 years old already.
Imagine.
But by all means, she's actually an attractive girl. There's nothing wrong with her. But she suffers from that, of people having a different image than what they would need or want. And then she didn't fit in, and now she's being bullied about it. And I think we have an unhealthy obsession with trying to look healthy.
That's true.
And that causes us to not live the way that we should live. And unfortunately.
That's so true. That's so true. And I've seen it a lot, right? I think also considering the fact that a lot of us as millennials living in the era that we live in, we love following superstars, and a lot of them look so amazing, and you have no idea what they do. And you're wondering, like, why doesn't my skin look as delicate? And as a result, you find yourself being willing to try almost anything. And you spend your money on a lot of products trying to accomplish that look that they have in Hollywood. And I think it is important important for us to just stop and think about what lengths are we willing to go in order to have a superficial appearance. Because realistically speaking, not everyone is going to look as good as the next person, or not everyone is going to have a physical appearance that's as attractive as the next person's. And we should not, I think it's okay to aspire towards looking good, but it shouldn't destroy you internally. It definitely shouldn't. And now coming to one of the biggest theme that this film tackles, right? The movie A Sponge on the Run. The biggest theme that I feel it tackles is the theme of friendship. And obviously, friendship is such an interesting dynamic because we all need friends. But unfortunately, not all of us have friends. We know that Patrick and SpongeBob have a friendship that we've seen since they were, I mean, since we were watching the show when we were young, before we became 30-year-olds with beards that keep on growing and you just have to keep trimming it. So we know that they have a very strong relationship. And what I love about this film is the fact that it explores the fact that just because you have a long relationship with someone, it doesn't mean that you will not experience conflict with that person. It doesn't mean that you will never come across a place where you argue with one another. And that doesn't mean that you now have to cast the relationship aside just because you had a little bit of a misunderstanding and had a conflict with one another or are in disagreement. I don't know, Charles, have you ever had a relationship with a person, a friendship, and you actually had a dispute but you still kept the relationship?
Yeah, I can't think of one now, but it feels to me as if I should answer that I must have.
That's the right answer.
Well, the first thing that came to mind when you asked that question was like, I wanted to say, yes, I'm married. Of course, I know what it's like to be in a relationship.
That's a good example, because marriage is also like a place where you have to build a friendship, right?
Yes, of course. Yeah, and there's no back door. You can't get out of it.
Exactly.
You can't leave, and you've got nowhere to go, actually, because you can't, like, at a friend's house, unlike marriage, you can leave when there's an argument or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
Married, you're still in the same house. You are home already. But you need to work it out. And friendship, actually, the best of friendships are the friendships that's formed throughout these disagreements and arguments and then coming back together and then just actually having a proper friendship, knowing where the other person is standing and you knowing what their viewpoint is, and therefore you can actually be a better friend to them.
Yeah, that's very, very true. I completely agree with that. Thank you so much for sharing that perspective. If you're interested in the film, it is called Sponge on the Run. It is available for streaming. I don't know if this streaming service is available yet in South Africa, but it might also still be in theater, especially since theaters are nowadays keeping films for longer since the pandemic. So do check it out in your nearest theater. But with that said, that is our take on the film. Sponge on the Run. You can go and live out that nostalgia. It's different animation style that they've used. This one is very 3D, so it tries to cater to a younger generation because that's what they're used to. But I miss the 2D version of SpongeBob, so I prefer watching the old films than with the latest ones. But I can confidently say that it is a family-friendly film that especially your kids will enjoy, and you can definitely watch it with them. With that said, we're going to cut it short right here, so do stay tuned because we'll be back right after this.